Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone. I am Leona Abraham Brando, host for Blog Talk Radio, Shedding Light. Every Tuesday, we have public discussions on anything and everything pertaining to the penal system, prisoners, victims, causes, mental illnesses, addictions. We have discussions on lawyers, on COs, on politicians. We have it on everything. Today, we are going to be talking about lawyers, especially corrupt lawyers, people who have had experiences with lawyers who were not sincere, who were deceptive, who were liars, who were corrupt, who were connected. So we are going to be talking about some of these issues. I want to bring up, first of all, we have a pandemic in this country. We are all going through something, either the coronavirus itself or we're going through something. And when I say pandemics, I'm not only speaking about this coronavirus. I'm talking about pandemics in the country. We have problems in the country with mental illnesses, with addictions. We have problems whereas people are crying out for help in whatever areas that they find the need. We have epidemics in this country that can be resolved. But in these cases, these epidemics cannot. And I will bring that up also in a few minutes. One epidemic we have in this country is an epidemic where there are people who are so corrupt, so deceptive, such liars. Many of them are wolves in sheep's clothing. And we're going to be talking about some of them today. I remember one time having a need for a lawyer, and someone had met this lawyer on Twitter, and she suggested maybe I try her because she said this lawyer, she seemed sincere. Her name was Elizabeth Kelly. So I contacted her. Now, Elizabeth Kelly is out of Spokane, Washington, and on her website, she had that she has an office in Spokane, Washington, and also in New York. After being scammed of $12,000 from her, by her, I contacted the state of Spokane, Washington. I contacted Spokane, Washington to file a report on her, only to learn that she was not licensed to practice in Spokane, Washington. So I contacted New York, only to find out she was not licensed to practice in New York. So the person that first recommended her was very upset, and she was apologetic for even thinking about referring this woman because she didn't know how deceptive this woman was. So she helped to find out where this woman was licensed to practice. And as it turned out, she was licensed to practice in Ohio, although she did not live in Ohio. This is an example of scammers. We have mass incarceration in this country. People that have relied on lawyers to help them to fight for their wrongful convictions, or to help them with their appeals, or to help them with their human and civil rights violations. They have trusted lawyers. And when we come across lawyers like this, it really puts a damper on who you can actually trust in this country. Norman Zellkind from Boston, another one, he too ripped me off of $4,500 to visit a prisoner one time. He brought a young lawyer with him, a Hispanic lawyer, stating that she was going to take notes. $4,500 for one visit. Never did anything. File a complaint with the American Bar Association or the Massachusetts Bar Association or the Washington State Bar Association. And what they tell you is that never file or never pay an attorney a fee agreement until they've met with the client. Another one in Washington, the state of Washington, said that this woman, Kelly, her mistake was that she didn't know how to bill correctly. So you don't get the support even from the Bar Association at times. There was another one in Pennsylvania. She took on a case And there's been many complaints against her, but there have also been many lawsuits filed. And this is, her name is Cohen. And Faye Cohen, I think they say Faye Reva Cohen, apparently has taken on so many cases, even of one as an airline stewardess, and many others. And apparently, after filing on their behalf, it appears that she turns around and sues them. Now, this is another one whom they say has collected thousands of dollars from people. We've all experienced something like that, even from them. But I want to let everybody know that this station is open so that you can call in and you can talk about the situations that you've been encountered by. You can talk about the lawyers that you've been scammed by. You can talk about lawyers who are well-connected. And I'll tell you, there have been people, lawyers do not even know, but because they know other lawyers who may be connected with victims' families or with victims, or they may be connected with friends of victims, or they may be connected with friends of whomever. And these lawyers, not knowing the clients or the potential clients who are wanting them to represent them, they either turn these clients down, or they find ways to rip them off. They find ways to scam them, and they laugh about it. They laugh about it with their peers, their other legal advocate peers. Wonder why the prisons are full? We have to deal with prisons for profit. We have to deal with corrupt prison officials. We have to deal with corrupt lawyers, COs. And not to say that all COs are bad, because there are some good COs out there too afraid to expose their peers. Whereas we have people like DJ Vodica, Donald J. Vodica, who was a veteran correctional officer in California, who wrote a book on all that went on in that prison, in those prisons. And DJ Vodica, he went up against the Department of Corrections in California. He was brave enough to expose all the injustice that was going on in those prisons. Michael Johnson and his friend, his partner, Leslie Robinson, they also exposed a lot of things that were going on in the Department of Corrections in Montana. What is it with our correctional officers, our cowardly correctional officers and officials, who are too afraid to speak out when they see all this injustice going on? And many of them have. Many of them have. They've talked about it to other people, too afraid to talk about it to the right people. I remember one time on Facebook, there was a correctional officer that actually stated that he was not like the others, that he didn't believe in what they were doing. He didn't believe that it was right what they were doing. And you know what the response was by someone that read it? They said, you may not be the corrupt one. You may not be the abusive one. You may be the good one. But if you're not exposing the injustices going on before your eyes, then you're just as bad as those who are doing it. We need to bring out awareness as to what's going on. People in the communities. You hear a lot of these lawyers who are fighting for people who have been in accidents, malpractices, things like that. These lawyers are quick to say that they're there for anybody that wants help, but yet they only pick and choose certain types of cases. And that's the same way it is with lawyers. We have lawyers even in Massachusetts. We have these American Civil Liberties Union. I have to bring them up because I started an organization in 2004 advocating for the incarcerated men, women, and youth across the country. And in all these years, 2004, that's 17 years ago, not once did we ever call on American Civil Liberties Union for help, where they would say that they didn't have the funds or the manpower. Prison Legal Services don't have the funds or manpower. I'd like to know who they are actually servicing. Who are they serving? And if they don't have the manpower or the funds, the resources, put it up on your website that we are temporarily not accepting cases because we don't have the manpower or the resources. Old Colony Correctional Center, the Lifers Group, they wrote a letter and they sent it out to all the politicians, some of the lawyers, even the lawyers they were complaining about, to say this is exactly what they get for answers when they try to get help. And they say this has been their excuse for over 20 years. So there's a need to bring awareness, because this epidemic is one that will not go away unless people bring awareness. And I see people talking about it all over the place, but yet too afraid to speak out in public. So what did that person say on Facebook about that correctional officer? I say to the same people, if you can talk about it and it's bothering you that much that you have to talk about it, then bring awareness. Don't talk about it to a few of your peers. Don't talk about it to one or two people, or maybe seven people or 10 people, and not talk about it so that it gets out. I brought this forum to give all of you an opportunity to speak out about the very thing that you're speaking out in private. And if you're too afraid to speak out, I'm wasting my time as well. But then I'm not really wasting my time, because we have people behind the prison walls, in the communities, in the homeless shelters, in the nursing homes, in the hospitals, in the streets, in their own homes, in the homes of others, who are in need of help. We're living at a time now where all the signs of the time mentioned in the Bible are coming to pass. The hearts of many will grow cold, 2 Timothy 3. Read it. The hearts of many will grow cold. There will be many who will betray others. There will be the boastful ones, the proud ones, the greedy ones. It talks about it in the book of Matthew 24. Signs of the time, earthquakes upon earthquakes. It talks about the weather. Look at, we have global warming. We don't know. Look at, today's a beautiful day in Massachusetts. I don't know what it's like in other places, but we're getting weather we never thought before. It talks about the signs of the time. If we can tell when there's going to be a storm, we should know when we have finally come to its end. And yet we have all these people that are doing all this dirt, all the deception, all the corruption, as though they don't know what's going to happen. Well, look in the book of 2 Peter chapter 3. Read it really good, because it says in the days of Noah, when there was no rain, everybody laughed at Noah when he was building the ark, because there was going to be a big flood. They laughed about it. They didn't think it was going to happen. But what did God tell them after that flood? Every time we see a rainbow, that's a sign that this world will not end by flood. But it does say it will end by fire. We not only see all these fires across the country, especially in California, but we are faced now with the global warming. We are faced now with this world being at its hottest peak. And yet we have all these lawyers and all these people that are so insecure that they have to go along with their peers to feel like they fit in. They're not leaders, they're followers. We have in this country a lot of followers, not just with lawyers. There are politicians who are followers. Then there are politicians who are leaders. There are advocates. Let me tell you, advocates. There are some advocates who have no investment in the prison. They have no one in the prison, but yet who puts them in charge? The very people who have investments, the very people who are very much in need to be leaders, to fight for their loved ones. But they put these people in charge, in the lead, who are trying to promote their books, who are trying to promote their organizations, who are in there as spies to get information to bring back to those who are in opposition. Look at even our government. We have Democrats with two people who are holding up every bit of good that the president's trying to do. What is it, Manchin and Sinema? They're supposed to be Democrat. But who are they really? Spies for another party? When it comes to Democrats and Republicans, I have no use for either one of them. I have no use for either one of them. One is too extreme, the other one's too passive, too afraid to do anything powerful, too afraid to use his leadership skills or position to do anything positive. I wish I could meet one person in this country who was a leader, 100%, who was a lawyer, not afraid to go up against her peers or his peers, who is a politician, not afraid to go up against the DOC. Because we know the DOC has a powerful union, law enforcement the same. So keep giving them more money, more money, more money. Let them become more powerful so that they can control not only the country but the world. And that's what's happening right now. You ever hear of one world order? I've heard of it a number of times, never really knew what it meant, understood it 100%. But I have a feeling I know what's going to happen. And it also talks in Revelations about, I think it's chapter 18, 17 or 18. The leadership we have now is going to be very temporary. And the one that was and is not is going to be again. We're getting all the answers to all these problems that are going on all around us. And yet everybody's ignoring it because they don't think it's going to happen. This country is in for a rude awakening. And what happened in 9-11, I mean, in 1-6, January 6th, what happened? If that happened in another country, the people would have been tortured to get information so that they could get full information about what's going on. And this country doesn't know what's ahead for them. We've been told by other countries they're not going to be the one to attack. We have our domestic terrorism. We have it right here in this country. So if we can't trust our own military leaders, our own military men, if we can't trust a lot of our own politicians, if we can't trust a lot of our law enforcement, and we can't trust a lot of our prison officials and COs, and we can't even trust lawyers now, we're in big trouble. You know, I've traveled 11 third world countries, and I'll tell you one thing. I've never seen a country so dysfunctional, so messed up as this country. This country may have had power at one time. Other countries may not have what we have in this country. But one thing they do have, they have faith. One thing they do have, they have hospitality. One thing they don't have is racism. We have a lot of problems in this country. People have been given the opportunity. They can't say they haven't had an opportunity to speak out, because that's what this show has been all about. It's been about speaking out, letting people know what you've been through, letting people know what's going on around us in our environment. With all the poverty going on throughout the world, we've got these celebrities who are spending millions of dollars to go up into space for 10 or 11 minutes. We've got these comedians or these celebrities and these athletes, 12, $150 million homes, who are driving these cars that are so expensive. And yet, how much are they giving to people who are poor? How much are they sharing with the people that have nothing? And you see these babies on TV, their ribs showing, they're starving. These children in the street, they have no place to go. But yet people can spend that kind of money to go up to space for 10 minutes, 11 minutes. People can spend that much money to have these parties at their billion-dollar homes. It's really pathetic. It's really, really pathetic. You know, sometimes I think I'm walking on land that I don't belong on. This is not my home. This is not the United States of America. Was called the United States of America because it was United States. There were people from all over the country, people from every country in this country representing their country. And all of a sudden, we have a handful of people that want to call it America. They don't want to call it the United States of America because they don't want people to feel like they should be coming together as one. They don't want that to happen. And the reason they don't want it to happen is because they want to keep it divided. But the United States, I always respected because it was united, people from all over the world. But when it becomes America, it's not united. It's very much divided. It's just like this voting thing. They talk about the voting. Now let's go back to the voting. When in the world did anybody ever prevent people from voting if they're citizens of the United States of America? How does that work? They're citizens, and yet they're being prevented from voting in only certain states or whatever. I mean, please help me to understand. Help me to understand the mentality of the people of the United States who go along with all of this like a grain of salt. They complain, but they don't do anything. Please help me to understand. I know that everybody listening is not mentally ill. On the contrary, they probably think they have it all together and they're smart, but they're not speaking out, which shows that something's not right. Here I am. I've got the virus. I had to cancel all my shows last week, but I made sure I got it together today just to have this show so people would have a voice. And where are the people? Hiding under whose apron strings, maybe? Or afraid to speak out because they're afraid their friends are going to say something, or their peers are going to be in opposition or get upset with them. One thing about me, I don't care if people agree with what I'm saying or not. I don't care if people criticize because I love criticism. That's how we learn. If we're humble, we don't care what people say or think or do. We respect them regardless. We don't care what our peers are going to say. I have a niece. I asked one time if she would be willing to work with me on getting a petition together for a friend. But because that person was in prison, I didn't even get a response from her. These are people who need to be advocates or who claim to know what they're doing. You can have all the education in the world. But when it comes to wisdom, that's rare. That's a God-given thing. And I'll tell you, there's so many people in this country that have no wisdom whatsoever. Because wisdom is when you think about something. When you think about a situation that's happening. And let me tell you a situation that's happening. And I say this all the time. We don't know how God is going to react to a situation. But we know he knows that situation before that situation happens. What does it say in the Bible about judging? Judge ye not, lest you be judged. So before even judging anybody, you got to know them. You have to learn something about those people or that person. Just like I say with lawyers. Corrupt lawyers are people that are insecure. And that's pretty obvious. That's wisdom. Insecure lawyers, because they can't think for themselves. They have to think. They have to think on behalf of their peers. Or telling them what to do. And there's a lot of lawyers, they're not going to succeed in your case if they have to be told what to do and if they have to be cowardly enough to go along with their peers who they know are wrong. You want a lawyer like that representing you? I don't. And these lawyers that charge $350, $650 an hour. Jeez. You know, it's like when I was in Ghana, West Africa. These girls would do hair. I used to watch them doing the hair on the side of the streets. They would do those braids and all of those other things that they do in this country. They're getting paid $300 to do, whereas these girls were doing it for practically pennies. Surgery. Doctors were operating on people $250, $500, where in this country they're spending billions of dollars, millions of dollars in surgery. What's the difference? And the sad thing about it, when I send things over to other countries, I have to pay a fortune to send it. And then when it gets to the other side, sometimes the people that are picking it up have to pay something too. How many planes go overseas to these poverty-stricken countries and have so much room to bring so many items, whether it be food or clothing or whatever, that they can fit on their plane and save people a lot of money sending things over to these poverty-stricken people? But yet they don't. A plane can go over to these other countries half full and still won't bring anything. Unless you've been there, done it, you have not a clue of what it's like to be poor, of what it's like to be ignored when you're crying out for help, of what it's like to be scammed, all your money taken, leaving you with absolutely nothing when you have loved ones or you have people that need your help so desperately. They're crying out and no one's there for them. I want to bring out another thing. These coalitions that they have in Massachusetts, fighting for Massachusetts against solitary confinement in restrictive housing units. I know personally, I know people that are on restrictive blocks and in solitary confinement who have done nothing. There was no reason for them to be put on there. But these so-called advocates that say they know it all and they think they know it all are ignoring it completely, as if to say that person must have, or those people must have done something wrong to be going through what they're going through. These are advocates who have no investment in the prison system, especially if it's a person of color behind those walls. But yet, you get a person of color that was found to be wrongfully convicted or that was recently pardoned, who's going to be free, and the wrongfully convicted who has major lawsuit right now, the lawyers fighting the Department of Corrections for a lot of money. All of a sudden, these prisoners become very special in the eyes of these so-called advocates, because these advocates now feel like this prisoner is going to tell his peers, his fellow prisoners, about us. We're sticking up for him. You know, we're saying right to the editor. We're doing all these things. Now we got them on our side. Any prisoner that falls for that is just as sick as they can be, because we have advocates that are out there trying to get their names known, trying to get their organizations known, trying to get their books sold, trying to get funds. At the end of all of their emails, you look and see what they're promoting. This country is a country of childish people. And you talk about other countries, the Middle East, Africa, places like that. I'm going to tell you, they've been through so much that they move on. They don't linger on, but they move on. They have lost their loved ones through war that shouldn't have been. The Vietnam War, that was a war that shouldn't have been. My father was in the Army. I had three brothers in the Marines. I had one brother in the Air Force. I had two sisters in the Army. All of them fighting for this country, a country that completely ignores them, unless there's a reason that they need them. I had my next to the youngest brother die. They thought it was because of the Agent Orange from Vietnam. We don't know to this day, because it was never really confirmed. Massive heart attack. Another brother that just died a few years ago, massive heart attack. Another brother that died of the coronavirus last February. I want to tell all of you that have problems with other people in this country, you need to get to know them. You really need to get to know them. We have people in politics who have never been in the military. We have people leading this country. We've had people leading this country who have never been in the military. And then we have military who have attacked their own country. We have people that spend all their time complaining instead of doing anything. And I'm going to tell you, I started a petition again about a year ago to replace prisons with long-term mental health facilities, long-term residential substance abuse facilities, long-term residential anger management facilities. All of these fall under the same thing I just talked about in this country, mental illnesses and addiction. But yet many of you who complain so much about the DOC, Department of Corrections, you complain so much about the abuses, and yet you'd prefer to see your loved one being in a facility or in facilities where they're abusing, depriving, provoking, harassing, tormenting, torturing, than to see your loved ones getting treatment while they are inside, whether they're wrongfully convicted or whether they did something wrong because of addictions or mental illnesses or a psychological issue at the time. We don't know what they were going through at the time. We know the prisons are full of wrongfully convicted. We know the prisons are full of first-time offenders. We know the prisons are full of offenders who were once victims themselves. We know that there are so many in prison because they would try to protect themselves. We know there are so many in prisons because they were stumbled by people on the outside. Because we have a lot of women as well as men on the outside who lie, deceive, who use. There are people who have never been in relationships before. They enter into a first-time relationship. And what does it turn out to be? A relationship, a toxic one of lies and deception. But that first time, that person who has never been in a relationship before is vulnerable. Whether it be a man or a woman, they're vulnerable. And they can be deceived, they can be lied to, they can be jilted. The thing is, if somebody is going to break up with someone, break up with them 100%. Don't break up with them and continue to call them to tell them about your new boyfriend or your new girlfriend. Don't continue to call and rub it in, because that's what the prisons are full of too. People who are driven. We have people on the outside who cause stumbling. We have people on the outside that are racist. We have people, and I'll say on both sides, we have extremists. We have people that have been harmed so much by people of opposite races. But they have this anger and frustration. But as I say, replace these prisons with residential treatment facilities where you're going to find independent psychiatrists and psychologists and social workers, independent criminal justice workers, doctors. And where are these people in American Psychological, American Psychiatric Association? Where are these people? They're getting all this money for what? For research for what? We know what the problems are. Even a five-year-old child can tell you what the problems are in this country. And yet all this money going to these people for research. When they get their research done and they find a lot of people are suffering from psychological issues in the prisons, when they find that addictions was the cause of a lot of problems, why aren't they out there advocating for these prisoners to be put in residential treatment facilities? If I'm wrong, call in and tell me. Don't just sit back and listen. The American Psychological Association, the American Psychiatric Association, these hospitals, all these places that are looking for volunteers to do these clinical research, these clinical studies. When people in the prison have been permanently damaged in areas, medical areas, and they're looking for something just like that to find out if it can be, their damage can be reversed, restored, replaced, whatever. But yet these hospitals and all these other places, they're willing to pay volunteers to do it, to agree to these research, these clinical studies, when they have people behind those walls that are willing to do it for free just to try to undo damages that were done to them once they entered into the penal system. There's a need in this country is a need. And I don't want to hear any needs anymore from anyone. And I will completely block people off when they even talk about situations, when they have an opportunity to come on and talk about it on this radio show. Fortunately, there are not too many that do. We have a caller, 248. Would you like to state your first name?
Yes, Steph. How are you doing? Welcome back.
Thank you, Steph. I'm glad to be back, and I'm just hoping I can continue to do the shows this week. What are your thoughts on all of these things that are happening in this country with these, first of all, I will say corrupt lawyers, these deceptive lawyers, and also a lot of the other things that are going on in the country as far as the penal system? And also, I just got through talking about the American Psychological Association and Psychiatric Association and these clinical studies that can actually be doing these things on behalf of prisoners and with prisoners, with the incarcerated population, and yet they choose not to. What are your thoughts on some of these issues?
No, I do wonder if somewhere there might be some psychologists, some psychiatrists somewhere who probably have a family member incarcerated who are taking some interest. Yeah, but you're right. There's probably nothing at a major leadership level within those organizations taking the initiative to address this, mostly because I think they bought into the media concept or other presentations that there is no real problem with prisons. It's just doing what it's supposed to be doing. So they're really, I think most of the public, including academia, is unaware of the magnitude of the tragedy. Of course, there's also those within psychiatry, within psychology, counseling, who understand that the prison system has become de facto a sane asylum because of the institutionalization movement from the 60s, 70s, early 80s, that we started closing these big facilities and put them on streets. Well, that didn't solve the problems. Then, too, they thought these magic answers of the medication would definitely be an answer. Of course, they didn't really understand what the medication, how they actually work. And they do understand a little bit better now, but there's still so much more to learn. But they also know these were really chemical straitjackets. And when the persons were on the streets, were no longer monitored on how well they took the medication, especially like certain schizophrenics who were like saying, this stuff makes me feel groggy, has other side effects. I'm not putting up with this. And there's no one telling them they have to take the medication. So they go off the medication. And then some of these have very difficult coping mechanisms. And so, yes, they put them at a higher risk of being provoked by others. Even some of them taking initiative to do other violent things themselves, having like schizophrenia. Some, not all, but some schizophrenia have heard voices telling them to do some really tragic things. Of course, that often gives the media, when it covers it, gives the impression that's typical of, like, say, every schizophrenic patient, and that's not true at all. But, it goes back to the fact that the institution's right. We're in a period in our history where the institutions, almost like all institutions, are failing the people. And I have an MPA, so I know that institutions start out with a mission, a purpose. This is why you exist. And over time, they've been struggling to keep up revenue to make sure they can have enough, resources and be able to pay people, qualified people, with good staff. But there is an old sociological principle that says that after a while, these institutions start focusing less on the purpose of why they started out existing and start focusing more on keeping those revenues, keeping those resources, and then keeping power to themselves and performing less. And we seem to be coming at a breaking point in our history that this problem is getting to so bad that Republicans and Republicans, conservatives, liberals, progressives, all of them alike, are severely distrusting all our institutions. And people are crying out for answers. So what perhaps this is an opportunity for activism and for other innovators to come up with something. I'm working on something now. I know you are. You carry your own website trying to get resources out there. But, of course, I also do have a amount of skepticism that, we could call the APA, call these organizations. But what incentivizes them to do anything for a problem they can't admit is a problem? So I'm trying to work on something on that angle. That's basically trying to come up with a process to help us speak truth to power in a way that power will want to listen to us because their leadership legitimacy is on the line. They can either listen to us now or face consequences in the near future where their leadership will be totally rejected. I mean, there's already talk among independent media and also in some mainstream media that we're like sliding into a kind of civil war. And it won't be like the actual, you know, early Civil War of the 1860s. It's going to be more asymmetrical. You know, what the government now calls domestic terrorism, kind of like their way of ignoring the problem. We'll just call it lawbreakers. Of course, you know, even the American Revolution broke the British laws because they had to. The British laws were corrupt. Well, now American laws are corrupt, so people will have to come up with some way to compel the government to listen, to back off, to answer these people's problems. Or we'll just be forced to take matters in our own hands.
You know, the thing is, when you mentioned excuse me, I don't want to get started coughing again. A lot of times
COVID
you mentioned,
will do that.
I'm hoping it's over pretty soon. But
I hope so too.
You mentioned schizophrenia, and I was going to say there was a young man on the Cape Cod who was a schizophrenic. His father was an attorney. He was feeling sorry for the family. I was feeling sorry for the young man, but also his father. And it was his father that I was talking about earlier that scammed me of $4,500. So that's why I say people sometimes they judge without knowing another person. I'm the type of person, I don't hold anything against somebody because a friend of mine holds something against it. You know, I'm the type of person that my friends either know me as being independent myself. I have to know somebody really, really good. And that's why on the radio show, one of the people that run the radio show on the weekend mentioned me on somebody that they were having a problem with. That's not me. I'm not the type of person to side with my friends or people I know because I know them. I have to know the person that they're having the problem with personally myself. And that's the way I am. Mm-hmm. That's the way lawyers need to be. That's the way everybody needs to be. But we have a system of things where people don't, and you mentioned something about the, I'm sorry, I lost track of what I was going to say. I'm sorry, I can't remember what it was I was going to say. But anyway, these are some of the things that do happen. What are your thoughts on
the whole practice of, go ahead.
I was going to say, what are your thoughts on residential treatment facilities? Do you agree with me that that would make more sense than having these cold steel bars, these cement walls? I mean, I can't imagine why people find it so difficult to sign a petition that replaces prisons with something that's going to be successful. I just can't understand it. A lot of them say, well, there's people that should never get out. Granted, there's terrorists, there's serial killers, whatever the case may be. It doesn't mean that they're going to be let out someday, but it means that they're going to get treatment, appropriate treatment, while they're inside. So why would people have a problem with that? And especially people that have loved ones inside.
Well, also the fact that someone who's never going to get out will end up spending time with someone who does get out. And you want someone who's never treated to be your, you know, someone who continually becomes impactful on someone you do know who's getting out, who might be your neighbor or your friend or your loved one. So, yeah, so it's not something we're totally removed from. It's going to be impacted some way, not to mention it reflects poorly on culture in large.
You know, they say there's a lot of good prisoners behind those walls, but there's a lot of bad ones too. And you know what I say to that?
Oh, yeah.
When you see families, when you see family members who do not get involved, who do not sign petitions like this, you do not support their loved ones, it sometimes tells you that's why your loved one's inside, because the support was never there to begin with. A lot of these people in prison probably came from family backgrounds where there was a lot of incest, there might have been a lot of drugs, there might have been a lot of alcohol, abuse, a lot of these things. Because there are people that are born, all people that are born innocent. So if people mess up along the way, something's not right. And when you see somebody that's doing really good, they have no father in the home, no siblings in the home, They've been working since childhood. They're going to school. They're going to college. They're doing everything right. And then all of a sudden something happens. And the person ends up incarcerated for life or life without parole for, say, firing one shot. Instead of them looking at both sides to find out what caused the problem, what caused it, they look at the person that did it without trying to find out the cause. That's why I respect Marion Jacobs so much. When she comes on the show and talks about the causes being more important than the person that did it and then the crime itself, the causes behind it. We need to look at the causes behind all of these things happening. Now, there were people that wanted to bring awareness about corrupt lawyers. They had an opportunity. They still have, because we still have about 45 minutes left. But this is when people talk about something, they want to get out there. They have an opportunity to do it. They don't do anything. There's something wrong there. There's something wrong there. When people are incarcerated and they all they want to do while they're incarcerated is drugs, whereas I got to say this too. People, the public is always under the impression that family and friends bring drugs into the prisons, but we've been in a pandemic for the last 2 years. There have been no, all visits were suspended, yet prisoners are still inside getting high. Now, I want the public to be aware of this, because I'm going to say this again. If they go on the internet and they type in drug smuggling by guards or drugs being smuggled into prisons by guards or COs or whatever, they're going to know where the drugs are coming from. That's why, again, I'm going to tell these people who ignorantly want to deny or want to sign signatures. The drugs are coming in from the, that shows these prisoners are not getting the real education they need. That goes to show you these prisoners are being fed drugs to keep them incarcerated, prisons for profit or for whatever reason. There are people in prison that don't ever get out because they know when they get out, they're going back to the same old environment that caused them to be incarcerated, or that they're going to come out and they're not going to have the support that they didn't have in the beginning.
I have to leave in 5 minutes because I have to go back to work. I was just going to add, too, that it's, research has indicated that the highest, one of the most contributing factors to prevent recidivism is family support. So the more someone can, like a prisoner can keep track of their family, who keeps coming in for visits, get some letters, get some phone calls, and can keep giving, you know, emotional support, that they're loved, that they're supported, and they're actually given some transition when they get out, they have a much lower chance of being, you know, recommitting an offense. But those prisoners who have no family members supporting them, and they have no way of transitioning out with a good support or just government support or some charity, they are at a higher risk of recidivism. So the whole issue of, like, cutting off families or making it very expensive for them to call or visit, counterproductive to the larger goal of helping prisoners readjust to society. But, of course, this is where, you know, as Miriam points out, money has gotten in the way. So it started incentivizing recidivism. It sure allows these certain institutions to take a blindsided look at saying, well, we're going to only let people out who probably are going to end up going back in. But someone's probably never going to go back in. We'll just keep them longer. I've actually seen that. So the parole would, like, let someone out that everyone knew this person's going to reoffend. But they wouldn't let someone out that, yeah, this person had really no chance of offending. Probably didn't do anything the first time. But they're stuck in prison. Got to make money.
That's it. I'm glad you came on, Steph. I really appreciate you taking time off from your job to come on and speak out. I wish there were more like you. It just puts a damper on, a lot of times it puts a damper on me, because when I start hearing people wanting to get their voices heard or speak out for their loved ones, they don't get a chance. They talk about it. And when they do get a chance, they do nothing about it. So I thank you for taking the time out, and I look forward to you being on again. I really do appreciate you.
Yeah, okay, great. On one of these days, I want to talk to you about Robert Martinson, a sociologist who coined the phrase, what works or nothing works. And that's why our prison industrial system has moved away from rehab, because of what this guy did, not for him personally, but how his research was manipulated to shut down rehabilitation from prisons back in the 1970s and 80s. But I can get more to that when I have more time. Cause, well, I got to get back to work here soon.
Okay. Thank you so much again, Steph. And I look forward to you being on with us again.
All right. I look forward to it, too. And I'll listen to the rest of this program after I'm done with my job.
Okay. Thank you so much. And I'm going to pick up where Steph left off. And I'll tell you, she makes sense all the time when she talks about these things. And I wish that more of you would get involved in talking about some of these. Ask questions. Don't be afraid to ask questions. Give comments. Criticize. Do whatever you want. Like I say, I was born a child of God, which we all are. And I was born with a very good parent bringing up. My parents taught us a lot about wisdom. They taught us never to judge people. They taught us never to condone or condemn, just to be neutral in all things. They taught us how to do the right things in life. They taught us how to be compassionate. They taught us how to be merciful. They taught us how to be forgiving. And we're living in a society today that is just the opposite of everything that I was taught when I was growing up. And unfortunately, many people are suffering as a result, because a lot of people like yourselves who listen don't speak out. And I don't care if you speak out in opposition to what we're saying or if you're speaking out. Okay, I had to mute that. Whatever your situation is, try to feel free to open up. Let loose. I mean, my goodness gracious, people are so afraid to speak, and I can't understand why. Is it because you're afraid of what your friends are going to say, your family's going to say? Are you a shy person? Are you a person that don't care one way or another? I remember seeing on Facebook where a mother actually said she was glad her son was in prison because he wasn't doing drugs. And that was the biggest joke of all. Because anybody that advocates for the incarcerated and has been advocating for the last 20 years or more knows that's not true at all. But yet this mother is so happy because her son is incarcerated because he's not doing drugs. That's really, really sad. Now, I want to go on again to some other issues as well. Getting back to our coalition of caring people who are so, so, so concerned with solitary confinement and restrictive housing that they are allowing these things to go on. One advocate who has written books, she put out there one day with the coalition, she sent an article that was in the paper about the lawsuits against the Susan Baranowski Correctional Center in Massachusetts. Now, this correctional center is exactly where they have prisoners on a block they should not be on, that haven't done anything. And those prisoners, for 2 years now, kept in their cell with practically nothing. And this woman had the nerve to send that around, knowing that someone that is also in that coalition, although does not participate because they're too busy trying to find lawyers for people like the one that's in and on a restricted block, cannot participate. How in the world can anybody be so cold to be sending things around like that, to be in a coalition like that, and to be talking as though it's all right for them to illegally put prisoners on blocks they should not be on and treat those prisoners like they treat them? There are coalitions out there now to abolish life and life without parole sentences. There are coalitions working against solitary confinement and restrictive housing. There are coalitions that are working against or with the Department of Corrections regarding the funding, whether they should be defunded or funded more. I say defund them. And the reason I say defund them is not only as an advocate, not only as a loved one of an incarcerated, but also because of knowing and being involved with coalitions and advocates across the country. But the Department of Corrections is denying many prisoners of participating in any programs, because as long as these prisoners are unable to participate in these programs, they are unable to show that they have done anything productive since their incarcerations, which many of them have been incarcerated for more than 15, 20, 25 years. Which brings us back to the lawyers, because these very prisoners who are being denied the opportunity to be involved in programs, whether they be correspondence, higher educational correspondence courses, or work programs. These prisoners are crying out to attorneys, to lawyers to help them with their civil suits, because we all know what the Department of Correction does when people file lawsuits on their own. They tamper with their mail. They try to move them around. They destroy their properties. They do a lot of things to prevent them from succeeding in their civil cases. So they reach out to lawyers, and here we go back again to these corrupt, deceptive lawyers who take advantage of these prisoners, which makes it even more difficult now, because not only are we disgusting and having issues with the Department of Correction officials and many CEOs, but we're also having problems with the lawyers that we reach out to in hopes of finding some trusting individuals to represent us. Then we have to look at some of these advocates. Some of them are corrupt. Some of them are in there trying to get information, trying to use the information to benefit themselves or to benefit somebody. Not all advocates are sincere in what they do. Not all advocates are sincere activists. Not all advocates are out there trying to help all prisoners. Many pick and choose because they benefit from some of them that they do choose. Believe me, they benefit. And we have a lot of vulnerable, even though they've been in prison, vulnerable prisoners who come out or who are still inside, who trust these very people that they need not trust, because these people are using them in some way, shape, or form. So, as it stands, I want to thank all of you for listening. You had an opportunity to call in. Perhaps next week you'll get up enough courage to call in. But we are going to keep this short, because I'm not wasting my time giving people a voice if they don't want to put their voices out there to the public. They just want to keep it within their own little crew, their own little circle. So I want to thank you all for listening. And next week we will have this once again, Tuesday, from 12 to 1 or 1:30, we will have an opportunity, or you will have an opportunity, to talk about some of the issues that you feel are important to you, if you want to talk. If not, please don't waste my time, because I have so many other things to do. I advocate for the incarcerated men and women who are serving life and life without parole for first-time offenses, and also whose civil rights are being violated. And this is where we need lawyers. If you're a lawyer and you want to help in any way, you can contact me via my email, nvopres@verizon.net, or 508-583-0051. We are looking for sincere lawyers who are really trying to do something positive, not trying to rip people off. And again, I'm glad I brought this up, because I want people to know who not to trust. And we will be bringing in more lawyers who have been corrupt as time goes on, because I see there's a lot of people talking about the injustices, not only in the penal system, not only in the community, but also with lawyers that they have been involved in. So please stay tuned next week. Come on board and talk about the issues that involve your life, your loved one's life, or anyone else that you may know. And I guarantee the public will hear it. So once again, thank you all for joining us, and we hope that you will be on next Tuesday to join us. Tomorrow we will be interviewing Marion Jacobs, psychosocial therapist from the Netherlands, and she will be on with us at 1 o'clock p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, 2 to 2:30 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time. Marion Jacobs will be talking about the comparison between the prisons in the Netherlands and also those of mass incarceration in the United States, and the damaging effects of incarceration, of solitary confinement, and of restrictive housing. I hope you'll join us tomorrow as well. We will now be closing this show with a may God give you all, grant you all some wisdom and discernment. We invite you again tomorrow. Thank you so much.